So, guys, welcome back to another episode of Two Peas, One Podcast. But we are joined by a third P, a petit pois, who is called Georgia. Georgia,
our first ever guest.
Our first ever guest.
I feel very privileged to be your first guest.
We were like, shall we have guests, shall we not? So this is like a guinea pig run.
Love that.
I think it's going to be nice. It's going to be like a little girls chat.
Yeah, different dynamic.
Exactly.
Love this.
But Georgia, like, obviously, we want you to tell us all about who you are. This is your chance to, like, give it some. I said to her earlier, I went, listen, Georgia, this is the cringiest thing to ever do, but can you do a little summary of, like, who you are?
We did a good practice question,
didn't I? Yeah, you did an amazing job. Yeah. And I thought, I'm not doing it for you.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, you're the queen.
Like, okay, you want me to queen myself?
Yes. Go on,
okay,
queen yourself, okay, honey. You okay, go, girl.
Oh, shit.
We're here for
ready?
You.
Okay, so I'm Georgia. I am the owner of Studio 281. We currently have two locations, one in Kempston, which is our wellness and gym space. And then we've recently just opened in Milton Keynes as well.
FYI, yeah. It's at the Doll's House.
It is at the Doll's House, absolutely. I'm a single mum to a little girl who's 2.5. And I would say that I am the biggest advocate for balance ever. Not that I always maybe practice balance, but the biggest advocate for living a healthy lifestyle and enjoying your life at the same time. Who doesn't love a holiday? I adore a holiday. And I am also hugely okay with the fact that I'm a overworker, overthinker.
Girl, same.
All of those things. And a massive, probably hypochondriac in terms of the fact that I'll say, oh yeah, can you do this for me? But then I'll
do it yourself.
Yeah,
because it's so much easier.
I just do it anyway. Yeah. So if you want to know, that's my kind of personality trait, which is probably why I am the way I am today. But yeah, that's me. And I'm really excited to be here. So thanks for having me.
I think she's downplayed it. Guys, she's an absolute powerful.
There you go.
She is an absolute, honestly, I can't remember who it was, but they said, oh, you know that Georgia? And I was like, yeah. And they went, mate, she's a powerhouse. And I was like,
thanks.
A few seconds into our convo, I was like, she fucking is, man. She actually is. She is so on form of everything. And I think that's why we kind of like bonded and aligned.
Correct.
Because we both have this toxic trait of not knowing when to stop and doing it yourself.
Sure.
It's easier.
And I think that for me goes into friendships a lot as well, because
your vibe attracts your tribe.
1,000,000%. But my vibe's tiny because of that.
Yeah.
Sorry, not my vibe. My tribe is
my
tiny.
Tribe's tiny.
My tribe's tiny. It's very small and it's very close knit. And the people that are in that
are solid.
Yeah. Because I haven't got a lot of spare time as a single mum, as a multiple business owner. Like, I haven't got loads of spare time. So to have my spare time, it's got to be really precious. And I'm a massive advocate for fill your cup. But if you're not going to fill my cup, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Do you think that's come with age? Because I feel like it took me a while to get to that point.
Agree,
to be like, actually, I'm not free. Mm. I am. Like, physically, I've got time in my diary, but just not for you.
I made a statement.
And it's harsh, isn't it?
It is. I made a statement the other day, and actually, it's really stuck with me. When I said it out loud, you know when you have one of those moments where you're like, oh, girl, you should have wrote that down. And it was, I've got all the time in the world for the right person.
Yeah.
And it's so true, right? Because
amen.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Yeah, exactly. And whatever aspect in life you want to talk about that, but there's so many people out there that say something, then don't deliver on it. And, you know, in terms of relationships and friendships, I think that's really important. So yeah, I definitely think that's come of age, but also I just know where my priorities lie now, and I'm really proud of that, because for so long I kind of felt like I just spread myself so thin.
But
and
it's boundaries.
But didn't do anything properly.
You can sometimes like try and fulfill other people's happiness. And actually, I think when you have kids and stuff, you're like, no.
That window of opportunity becomes a lot smaller, doesn't it? Because you're like, actually, my whole life, my world has shifted now. And this is what's really important. Mm-hmm. And your mindset is completely different.
Yeah, 100%. And I would say that massively. Like, I've done a hell of a lot of work on my mindset over the last 18 months. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to go into the whole business thing later on. But at real deep and dark times in your life, you kind of learn that you either can stay there and you just feel sorry for yourself, or you can knuckle down to what the bare, you know, the bare depth of it is, and you can really go for it. And that's definitely what I did. It was kind of, you know, that shock of adversity and, oh my goodness, my life feels so different right now.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. I'm not okay with this. What am I going to do about it?
What am I going to do about it?
Yeah. And I did something about it. Yeah. And I just did something about it. And, you know, change doesn't happen overnight, does it? But it's how you show up for yourself. And then if you can show up for yourself in those really vulnerable moments, I think that's where the magic can happen.
And I think as well, when you become a mum, I don't know if you guys are the same, but like, I look at who's looking at me.
100%.
And I'm like, I've got two little ones looking up at me to be like, mummy, is this the way to go? And I'm 100%. Like, this is how we do this. We put our best foot forward every day.
They're looking at your relationships. They're looking at your work ethic. They're looking at how you handle difficult situations.
Conversations.
And even though they're small,
they absorb everything.
God, don't they?
Literally, the other day, so we just got back from holiday. Jen and I both went away at the same time, came back.
We flew, but we were at the airport
at
the same time.
I'm so proud of this. I've got a little cheeky shoulder out because... I've never been this brown before.
Amazing.
I'm like, glowing. Who is she?
But it's like Dubai sun. It hits different.
It hits 30. It? No, it was 37 on Sundays. 43. I've never felt heat like it.
Oh, yeah, but beautiful.
It was stunning.
Much better
than
the rain that we've got here.
I'm so cold right now. Yeah. Like, you don't even understand. I dressed like it was summer still, and I've made a massive rookie mistake. But so obviously, we got back from holiday, and on holiday, I was crying with laughter because Hallie is like a little parrot.
Mm.
Everything we say... Oh, by the way, I have a Hallie. She has a Hallie. So I'm talking about my Hallie Coco. Yeah.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I love that.
But there's a story behind this. So I trained Rochelle in COVID.
Yes.
Like knowing Rochelle, obviously, as a kind of customer and training her as a PT through COVID. And then I found out I was pregnant as we were coming out of COVID.
Yeah.
And you went back to work. Things got super busy. And I'd been to Rochelle's house. We'd spoken about children and stuff. And I know she'd mentioned her daughter was called Hallie. But
it just doesn't stick.
So anyway, then I announced I was pregnant. And then you were like, oh my God, congratulations. Do all of this stuff. Still didn't cross my mind. Then when we announced that she was born and she was called Hallie, she was like, oh my gosh, you've called your daughter Hallie. I was like, yeah. But you know, like, right? Then she was like, I've got a Hallie. I was like, oh my goodness.
I'm going to say
it's like a subconscious moment.
Do you
moment.
Know what? It's a beautiful name.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
I'd steal it. I'd take it.
It's gorgeous. Join the gang, babe.
I was like, I wish I was called Hallie, man.
I know.
But she was saying what your kid's called, because she's quite a new client. And I said, I got a Bentley and then Hallie. And then I said, Hallie's Hallie Coco. She went, I love that name. And I was like, do you know what? I love it too.
Yeah.
And she said, I know quite a few Hallies now. And I said, yeah, to be fair, so do I. Before I called Hallie, I knew none.
Yeah.
But she was like, well, how do you feel? I went, do you know what? I think it's actually like really nice. I think it's such a good thing.
Mm.
Like, I could be a dickhead and be like, oh, it's like, you called your kid up my name. Yeah. But I got the trademark.
Yeah, no,
like,
exactly.
If you called her Hallie Coco, I'd be like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah,
exactly. So it don't bother me. I think it's actually like a compliment.
It is. It's a massive compliment.
Exactly. So
beautiful name stick.
Exactly. Last week we obviously told you what our podcast is going to be about today, and it's going to be all about whether we think it's okay for you to leave your kids and go on holiday. As much as we love them, what is our opinions?
There you go.
But before we get into that, jinx
again. Yeah, we'd love to talk to you all about your business.
Yeah.
Where the name came from, where it started, like, tell us all.
Okay.
So, what did you do prior to all of this?
When I left school.
Where did it start?
Yeah. So when I left school, I was a dancer. So I was...
I didn't know this.
Yeah. So I was super in the performing arts world.
Oh my God, I
love that.
What did you do?
Ballet, tap, dance?
I can see. Oh my God, you know what it is?
It's now the slick back hair is cool.
Yeah.
It's like I always wore it before. So now everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And we always used to do that like ballerina bun. That was my life. So in sixth form, I did a BTEC in performing arts, which was the kind of alternative to your normal A levels,
mm-hmm.
but the way that they did it with us, we had a really talented group of students at the time, and so we basically was like we were at like musical theatre school from the ages of 16. So it was incredible.
Was this at Bedford?
Wow, it was amazing. In Sharnborough. Yeah, I went to Sharnborough Cup of School. So we did dance, drama, music, and then outside of school, I did ballet, tap, modern jazz.
Wow.
You name it, we did it. And then I went to university and got a degree in dance and professional practice, trained to become a dance teacher within the school setting. Did my teacher training year within the school setting. And in my second year of university, I trained to be a fitness instructor. One, because...
God, you did it all.
Yeah, yeah. I did. But again, I think it's embedded in you. Like, we talk about children a lot.
It's like the discipline you need to be a dancer.
But also the finance.
Like fitness training. Yeah.
But the finance as well. Like, it wasn't guaranteed that you were going to get work
auditions,
as a dancer.
Casting calls.
Everything. Yeah. I remember going to a Disney audition and it costing me 78 quid for a train and this and that. Yeah. Before you've even done anything. You haven't even got the job.
You don't even know if you're
exactly.
not shortlisted.
And that was years and years ago. So I can only imagine how they feel now. And I wouldn't ever say that I was the best dancer, but I just had the discipline and the drive that I would work harder than anyone else in the room. But yeah, so in my second year at uni, I didn't want to work in a shop or anything like that. So I thought, how can I make the most amount of money in a shortest period of time?
Mm-hmm. And also something that kind of complements your industry
well. At such a young age.
So I was like 20, 21 when I did it. And basically I just went on like it was called an exercise to music course. And it taught you how to be an aerobics instructor. You know, literally like a two-step, like...
Emma has a very special place in my heart because my mum did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she used to teach 32 classes a week.
Oh, even my goodness.
Up until she had me.
Wow. I love that. Yeah, so proper aerobics, hamstring curls, knee lifts, you name it. Yeah, love so that's that. What I did. And then I basically hired the village halls and the school hall that I was working at the time.
At 21, 22?
At 21, wow. Yeah, 21. Yeah. And it went bananas. Like literally I was making hundreds of pounds teaching two classes a week, basically.
And what made you different? Do you remember?
Ooh, what a great question.
At 21,
Like, it was me. I didn't ever fit. And it's really interesting because I've just come from lunch with a gorgeous friend of mine who's going to be able to relate to this a lot. And I'm sure there's lots of mums that will be listening that say, I never fit the bill as a teenage girl. Yeah. I didn't want to be in the bitchy group talking about people.
No.
I wasn't the cool girl that everyone wanted to be, but I also wasn't like a geeky girl. I kind of sat in this place where I was like, I was so ready to grow up, but you can't race time, can you?
No.
And I was 14 wanting to be 18 and I was 18 wanting to finish uni. So I always like wished that time of my life away. But it always became a thing because I knew I wanted more. So it's not a bad thing, but it was just different. So yeah, so then I did that. And then basically off the back of that, got my teacher training, got to the end of my teacher training and they offered me a job. And I was like, actually, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
The money was pants, you know, and I think it's okay to say in business, I am financially driven and you know, it matters.
Otherwise, why are we starting businesses? Let's be honest, it's financially driven.
And you have to be financially driven to make any kind of growth.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can't just grow without the finances, unfortunately.
It's a hobby.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it was a hobby. It was a hobby that turned into a passion and into a career and I'm forever grateful for that. So then I went and trained to be a personal trainer, did that with always in the back of my head knowing I wanted my own space. I didn't really know what that space looked like. I just knew I wanted to offer something that no one else was. And coming from that dance background, working in a gym, I didn't really fit the gym mold either. I wasn't interested in being a bodybuilder. And at the time, back in 2015, bodybuilding was how people were training.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be like that. I'm a naturally curvy girl. I like I said at the beginning, I've always been about balance. I enjoy going out eating, you know, at the time, partying, all that sort of stuff.
I mean, you've got Italian roots, girl. Babes, of course.
If there's pasta involved, I'm there. So yeah, there is that too. So I think that's important to remember. It's about where you fit them, where you fit the industry, not how the industry fits you.
But it's also finding your own way. I think already, straight away, you've just gone, I'm doing it on my own terms.
Yeah, correct.
Fuck what the mold is saying.
Yeah.
I'm breaking out of the mold. I'm stepping outside of the box and I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah, and I think that's been evident through my story because then I opened, so then I worked in a gym for 2 years and was a PT within a normal gym space and I didn't fit the mold. I remember there being a time, and it's funny now, but it wasn't at the time, and there was a male PT who, obviously, the fitness industry is so male-driven and so male-dominated, and that's really daunting as a 22-year-old girl. Like, that was like, he was like 40-something.
So intimidating.
Yeah.
I could never. Like, I went through a period, like, before I had my breast reduction. No, same. Before I had my breast reduction, I felt so uncomfortable that I refused to go to a gym. And that's when I found Georgia, Studio 281, because it was, obviously, you came to the house, we did a few PT sessions, and then I came in and I was like, do you know what? That gym feels like home. It was such a warm, welcoming feeling. Your mum was like, hiya.
I know.
Everyone was smiling. There's lots of women. Yeah. And I was like, do you know what? This is what
this
I need.
This is me.
That feeling is what I wanted to create.
And you've done it. You've nailed it. Tick that box.
Thank you.
You smashed
but
it.
But it doesn't happen overnight. And I think going from the gym world that I was in, knowing in the back of my head, that's exactly what I wanted to build.
Yeah.
It was really difficult. So I had to work really, really hard to earn as much money as I could to save it all. Then obviously do the project of opening the studio. And we opened to kind of rival your... you know, you're kind of like David Lloyd's and places like that.
Yeah.
In Bedford, there's nothing like that.
No.
So it was, how do we become not bodybuilding, not kind of leisure centery, but how do we offer people really good classes? So a lot classes? Of
market research went 100%, into it.
More from the fact that I loved it and going to it and being like, I want to go and do this and I can't. There's nowhere that I can do that. So we offered personal training, group classes, like group exercise classes and spin. And it went bananas. Like it literally, within the first 2 years, it was mental. Then the dreaded COVID happened.
Pandemic. Scandemic. Yeah,
the literally.
Scandemic.
Yeah, that. And it was awful, like awful. Mm. At the same time being locked in a house, I had a business of 180 clients that I needed to serve. Like how was I meant to maintain that?
Yeah. You had to pivot majorly and you started doing online classes which was such a great thing.
Yeah.
I remember looking, thinking, I wish I could do an online hair thing because what can I
do? What can you do? Yeah, what can exactly. I do? You can't do anything.
How you still make the best rent, out of a bad situation.
Like you're still covering everything financially for a business. Your world might stop,
but your finances
don't. Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think, you know what, now...
And you just bought a house that you were renovating as well.
Yeah,
like,
I had a team. So I had, although everybody that works for me was self-employed, I still felt responsible for the fact that I've just taken, not me obviously personally, but I'd just taken their business away from them by saying, sorry, we're closed. Like, what? People relied on that as their space. So that
and
was...
And also your guests, I think that's one of the things is like mental health. Lowest point.
Yeah, and I couldn't do what we do best.
Yeah, uplift people, show them like
give them community. So when we opened the studio, it was always really important for me to highlight the fact that we are different because we will breed a community. And I think now, for anyone that's listening and is kind of in the gym world, it's such a buzz. Everyone now says it.
Yeah.
But we meant it and we meant it 7 years ago and we mean it more now.
Yeah.
And that's the importance. And, you know, with the development of Milton Keynes as a space, that still matters so much. And I think what makes that important is that we genuinely mean it. So you can say it, but you've genuinely got to mean it. You know, we want our clients to be able to feed back to us. We want them to tell us when things are good, bad and ugly and know that they can trust us because...
All feedback's good feedback.
Exactly. Yeah. And know that that's a safe space. You're not going to get on your high horse and get all stroppy because someone said they don't like this. So that's really important to us in the development of what we're doing. And then... Basically, after COVID, things picked up, but they didn't really pick up back to where they were before. And at the end of last year, so end of 2023, I just said enough was enough. And in the September, just said, we either close and go and I'll go and get a job and work for some, you know, a big company and just go into the corporate world, or we give it one last shot. And I sat down with my mum, who I'm in business with, and I just said, I'm not ready to say that I've given up, if that makes sense. But what I know I'm ready for is I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it. And so she said, well, what's the plan? And I had an awful birth with my daughter and was recommended to do Pilates. So in that year, in 2023, I trained in Pilates, took Pilates, spent about 10 grand on Pilates training across the country, was here, there and everywhere doing courses, doing classes for myself, self-practice, all that sort of stuff. And then I was like, this is the move. So we shifted our gym move to functional training. So now we're a functional training facility that offers like strength, metcon, conditioning, yoga and ride. Amazing. And then we have a reformer wellness like offering, which is reformer yoga and then mat Pilates. And that's how then we ended up going into Milton Keynes because... It's just gone bananas.
I can't get a space. Like everyone, all the girls are like, Michelle, we ain't seen you in one. And with my diary being the way it is, I can't book things too far in advance.
Yeah, so then that's the problem.
And then I'm like, I can't get on. Yeah. So that we literally, I always say the universe has a way of aligning things.
Agree.
And I just had my bomb lash girls, love them to death. Mm. They basically handed their notes in because their circumstances all changed in the building. I was like, that's such a big room. How am I going to rent it out? And I sat there for a minute and I went, what will be, like, I'll get someone good in there. I'm not joking. And it must have been like 10 minutes later. It is.
I know.
I think it was the next day I got a message from Georgia, Rochelle, random, but do you know any places in Milton Keynes that have space for let? And I was like, what for? She was like, reformer Pilates. I was like, well, actually, yeah.
Come and have a look at this room I have downstairs. And
I want to add to that because I want to almost, for anybody that's listening that's influenced or inspired by that, I didn't know how. I just knew I had to ask and I didn't know anyone. Like, I'm not from Milton Keynes. I'm a Bedford, born and bred. I went to uni in Bedford. I've lived in Bedford. And this is scary. Like, this is a scary move. Like, I know no one.
It's the unknown.
Completely. Yeah. And I'm relying on the
your network.
Yeah,
your
yeah, network. But my network's not. Yeah, but my network's not there. That's the thing. So that's what was so scary.
But it just takes one person.
Exactly.
It takes one person for me to know five others.
Yeah, exactly.
For them to know five others, and that's how it happens. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm all about women empowering women in business.
Agree. And I couldn't think of a better way of working together. Yeah. So you know, I've had loads of questions like, "Are you going into business with Rochelle?" No, but that doesn't mean we're not going to support each other.
No, exactly.
You know, no, I'm within that building, and what an amazing community of women that you've got there.
Like, so nice.
I dropped a message in there.
I was like, on holiday and the phone was like ding ding.
Yeah,
ding,
it was
ding.
So nice. So I dropped a message into the community chat.
It was lovely.
And I was like, I'm so sorry, girls. I've been in this chat for like 6 weeks. You know what it's like,
it's
like
busy,
crazy. And I was like, I'm Georgia, opening this. And the girls were just beautiful. They were like, don't worry, all our clients. And I just thought that is priceless.
Yeah.
And I love that. Like,
I
so
get
thank
a bad
you for
rep
that.
For being called the Doll's House at Milton Keynes. You'll see what Milton Keynes is like, but it can be very clicky. And I get people coming in going, I didn't think it would be like this in here. They're like, it is so much nicer than I thought it would be because everyone's so friendly. And I think Doll gives it like a stiff upper lip.
Yeah,
like,
I understand that.
You know what I mean?
I understand that. But I also think that reputation is one thing and opinion is another.
Yeah,
and
I think, always want to smash your opinion
correct,
like water.
Correct. And actually, you know, like each to their own, you know, I'm not
your opinion is your opinion as well.
I'm
like
everyone's
so
cup
it's
of
more
tea.
On you.
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
I'm mama, you love me or you hate me. Yeah, and if you hate me, that says more about you because I'm actually quite a normal person who's not really got a bad bone in my body. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
until you push me and then I'm like, right,
no,
I've had enough.
Yeah, but then that's boundaries. That goes back to what we said at the beginning, doesn't it, about all of that. And I think that for me that move in my career, if we go back to where the question was about the story for me in my career, I would say that that's this, well, probably the second scariest thing I've ever done, but the risk, that's the biggest risk I've ever taken.
Yeah. So you guys obviously know, went on The Apprentice, which is a funny story because I feel like I've interlinked with your family quite a lot.
Correct, yes.
So I was on the final filming You're Hired, You're Fired, and her brother was there. He's Lord Sugar's like right-hand
marketing man.
And he came up to me and went, I'm George's brother. And I was like, so I was obviously panicking because at this point no one knew. So I got home, had my phone, I unfollowed Studio 201, I unfollowed
everything.
You.
Quick.
Quickly just like removed it because I thought if the press get hold of this,
they're
going to be
really
like,
with stuff.
Exactly. And I was just panicking. And I remember messaging you being like, I'm going to sound really weird here, but like, I've just unfollowed everyone.
Just
because,
to be safe.
Yeah, because they just didn't, I just didn't want any ties. Like, I didn't want anyone to think anything. I like, had like a step up or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
But obviously, that whole situation was like, I was like,
Another thing.
You're from Bedford.
Yeah,
this is
mad.
I know. And I always, even with my husband, like before we got together, I always was going to the same places he was. And I was like, eventually we were going to align at
correct.
Some point and find each other. And it's so true.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that. I'll be honest. Like there was an actual really strong, solid point there.
That's
but it's
all right. This is
ADHD,
mum life though. We have something in our brain and then
ADHD.
We come back to it later. Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Back to it.
Ding. Yeah. That's my ADHD brain at its finest. So when I obviously went on that show and Lord Sugar kept saying to me, Rochelle, like, you've got one business, like, why haven't you opened more? And I said, but in all honesty, I'm bloody petrified.
Yeah.
How can I replicate and recreate the heart and the soul that I've got in my one unit and put it somewhere else when I'm not physically there?
So I'm going to answer that because I would genuinely say that's my biggest risk.
Yeah.
But what I'm learning and becoming a mum has definitely made me learn this. You can't replicate yourself, but you can replicate a feeling and you can teach a feeling.
Yeah.
And it's not been long enough yet to replicate or say that yet. But something that I know is the deep rooted desire for our business is to make people feel
and
good.
Your core principles.
Exactly.
So,
I know you come to a reformer class with us, you are not getting that reformer class anywhere else. So we know that that is going to be a good vibe. That vibe then is going to make you want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, ask me in a year whether it's been successful or not, but I think that if your passion is truly that feeling, you can. It's just how you do it. And
guess what? Yeah. You've taken the step, and I always say, nothing good happens in your comfort zone.
No, it doesn't.
Uncomfortable with feeling like that because that's when growth happens. That's
correct.
When change happens.
And
that's when you have to. It's fight or flight.
Yeah,
like, that's it.
You give yourself a chance and you say, I have no other option but to make this work.
But
and
I
guess
genuinely
what it's
didn't have any other option. Yeah. I think that's the thing. Like, I separate.
You pivoted your business though.
Correct.
And like no one in the area was doing it. And no one has, even like now, you're the first place in Milton Keynes to have a central Milton Keynes studio that's as big as it is.
Yeah, exactly.
like straight away.
I found out a fact today, and not being from Milton Keynes, this is huge. I didn't know that in this country, Milton Keynes has the highest ratios of gym to people. So you're the busiest area, like busiest city with the most gyms.
I didn't know that either.
And yet no one's opened a reformer studio. So I'm so that's mega. But also done to Milton Keynes for being active, because they're all busy.
We're active.
So well done. Active boss.
The other people in MK in. I can't touch me. And this is why. So we did a reformer Pilates class the other day, and I can tell you, I'm not a gym girl. I absolutely, when I say I hate the gym, I hate it. I detest it. I only go because I want to look sexy naked. Like, I swear to God, I'm honest.
At least you're honest.
I like the way it makes me feel afterwards, but it hurts my knees, back hurts.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stood up all day. Now. I've got kids. Yeah, I know I sound terrible, but I do. I genuinely don't enjoy the gym. Mm-hmm. So when I've done reformer Pilates, I fucking love it.
Mm. And
it
I think
the best thing
what?
Since sliced bread.
I think there's a lot in that if we want to unpick it. So
mentally, it's good for me.
Mentally, it's incredible.
It's not hard on the knees and the joints because
mentally, it's even better because it's active meditation. You cannot think about your shopping list while you're in a lunge on that bed. Because if you do, you're falling off, love.
Yeah.
You know,
many things are aligned and connected.
Yeah. Exactly.
And
that's what I love. All of your worries, stresses are paused.
They have to be
for that moment.
And you are the only thing that matters. And when you're a mum,
even though your limbs are shaking, you're like, who thought this would be this hard? Like sliding around on a bed, mate, it fucking is. But it's great. It's the best form of exercise. And I think everyone needs to do reformer Pilates.
Well,
even men, like,
don't get me started. Men need it more because they put their body under so much load with, you know, not all the time, but
not chucking around heavy weights all the time.
Yeah, and actually, we spoke about it, didn't we, before we started recording? But the cortisol, you know, in terms of your stress hormone that is released when you are putting your body under strain through weight training, is so damaging to our hormonal balance as women at different times in their life. And, you know,
different times of the month.
Yeah,
as well.
But we can go into this on, I'm sure, a whole other thing. But through the perspective of post baby, so like postpartum, hormonal changes within your periods, perimenopause, menopausal, that level of training can be so detrimental to a female's equilibrium. So like being balanced.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel though. I know it's, I say I hate the gym, but that's how I felt when I was going, I was doing the heavy weights.
I felt, ugh.
Just thought, I don't want to come away because I know that I have such an active life. I have to go to the salon, be blow drying hair, then go and collect the kids and stuff. And actually, I wasn't getting what I wanted from it. But with reformer Pilates, I'm coming away and I'm like, I'm hurting in all the right places. I feel good.
I'm hurting to my core.
Yeah.
My insides are hurting.
Yeah, but that's what
I've never felt before. But also, like, my body was changing. And I was like,
because you need to work from the inside out.
Correct. Yeah,
and I'm not working in the same way I'm working when I'm going to the gym. And I'm like, I've got nothing left in the tank, but I'm not seeing results.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with me. Reformer Pilates will give you the results that you want to see, especially as a woman in her mid-30s. I say mid-30s loosely, I'm on the other side. But I do. I feel like if you are like me and you don't enjoy exercise, just give it one try and message me and thank me later because...
Yeah. There you go.
And I'll thank you too. I don't need to sell it. There you go. Done.
I'm a Pilates.
But it doesn't, it doesn't need selling. And I think that's why it's been I hate the term overnight success because that's not what it is because nobody sees the work underneath.
No, but you are downplaying it. It's absolutely like booked out for months. You've done so well.
It is. And that is because... One, we've marketed it correctly to the right people. We're not trying to get people that are gym goers. Like if you're a gym goer, let it complement your training. Yeah. There's a space for it. If you're not a gym goer, then it's going to give you that element of endorphins. And actually, everybody should move. Like
100%.
How much time, even if you are a mum or whatever, do you spend sometimes just sitting still?
Stagnant.
In not a good way, you know?
And also like the effect it has longer term on your body. I knew I needed to go back to the gym, like I had no motivation to go because of how it made me feel.
Yeah, because it made you feel more tired.
It did.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, I found a thing now that works for me. Mm. And I think that's the good thing is we've got choice nowadays.
Yeah,
you can pick what works for you. Yeah.
And I think that if you're talking to a trainer, because I know I've been one of them before when I was really anti whatever the next.
Eat less, move more.
Yeah.
Pump the weights, do the squats. And it's like,
high protein diet.
Yeah.
All that.
Not every woman's built the same. Like you're not understanding that I'm going to come into my session today and have nothing left in the tank because my iron's low because I've just come on my period.
Yeah.
I'm bloated to fuck. Yeah. My mood is good.
So science and chemistry behind it as well. Yeah.
Much, so if you're telling me to do some squats and some fucking burpees, I ain't going to do them because I've got nothing left.
But everybody has
to. I'm eating healed out, mate.
But also, what's that? What that's going to do is also put a negative connotation on that form of exercise.
And guess what? I went, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah. So then what, you did it for a couple of months and then you did it and then you've not done anything else.
Exactly. And then your whole perception of that is actually, I don't really like exercise. Yeah. And I don't, and it gets categorised into one big ball of exercise when actually it's not correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've actually got a question for you off the back of obviously you being really successful. Yeah. And it's obviously you're a mum.
Yeah. Yeah. I am.
And how have you done it? Yeah. How do you juggle being mum and also having these busy classes that are booked up for months and months? How do you juggle all of it?
Okay, so I think I have to tell the mum story first because I think that has to be, there's a reason, because I really feel like, I'm going to make a statement about motherhood first.
Sure.
I don't think I'm an average mum in terms of, I don't love motherhood. Like, I am not a mumsy mum.
That's so okay.
Yeah, but
say.
I am so okay with saying it.
So good. Am I. Yeah, agreed.
Because she is my world and she changed my life for the better and I would never change anything about her. But it's not my favourite job in the world.
No.
And actually, it really bothers me when people say, oh, but you should be enjoying it. These years go fast. Good. Because they're not all fun.
They're not easy.
And they're not easy. And me and her dad separated just after she was one. So I've also done it on my own.
Yeah.
But when I say on my own, I say that in a real loose term. So I'll cover that in a second as well.
No, but you do. Like, there are points you're not... I have a partner with me and he takes that load from me sometimes. Mm. And we do split things very 50-50. But when you're doing it, even though Hallie might go to her dad on a weekend, you still have solid time of just solo parenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like you on the flight, solo parenting.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I'm not even like either of you. You've had a period where it was just you and you know, two children. I've never had to do that. Mm. Kyle's never been away from me longer than like a weekend.
Yeah.
So I think you guys are the real goats here because I could never.
I think when you don't know any different, you have no choice. Yeah. And although Hallie's dad's amazing in his own right, as a team, it just didn't. Yeah. You know, didn't
You're not an
work.
Effective team.
No, exactly. Yeah.
And
actually,
that's okay.
if we want to business it, then that wouldn't have been a successful work, you know?
You
so that's what it is. But I think I lost a lot of myself when I was pregnant. You've got to remember, I had COVID.
So many people do.
Yeah, but why are we, do we not talk about it more?
Do you know
because
what?
I
talk about it all the time. Yeah. I tell people all the time, like, are you sure that you want to have a child? Because pregnancy is really fucking
rough.
Tough.
It's rough.
It's so rough.
It's
like,
rough.
You can't do half of the shit you used to do.
And you don't look the same, which
you
I know it's not all about how
and
you
And mentally,
look.
You have to catch up with your brain because you're like, I'm now a mum.
Yeah.
Who the fuck am I?
And also,
where am I?
There's a massive thing in this that I speak about. I do a lot of work with a nutritionist that we do programs for.
Yeah.
And there's a massive thing in wanting to be a version of yourself that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, she's gone.
And how many times do we sit there in them early months and even early years? Because I still feel like I'm in the early years. And, you know, that we go, oh, I just want to be there. And you can't. You know, that doesn't exist anymore.
You're wishing to go back to a place
but you
in
can't.
Time that doesn't exist,
anymore.
You can't have it back.
So
you can have snippets of her, but the reality is actually you chose to put a child into this world.
Mm.
So they do have to come first, whether you like it or not.
So, so I think for me, the how do I do it all comes from the fact, and I'll revert back to a statement that you said earlier, comes back to the fact that I have a tiny person looking at me. Mm. And because of my story of being on my own and me and her dad not making it work, I want to be able to give her everything that I would have given her if we were together.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just mean financially. That to me means
emotionally,
my time, emotionally,
physically,
financially, experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be at every netball game, everything like that. So I don't have a choice but to show up right now so much for what makes that happen, which is my business.
Yeah.
So do I do everything alone? No, I have got the most incredible network support. My family, I mean, we laugh about it, but it's literally a cult. Like, we are literally...
I love that.
We do laugh about it. But anyone that knows us, we are a team and I couldn't do it without them. And any opportunity I get to say to them, like, I'm so grateful. I'm beyond grateful.
Yeah.
I've got not a lot of friends, but the friends I have would drop everything for us. And that means the world.
Yeah.
And also in that respect, there's an understanding of sometimes that means I can't drop everything because my plate's too heavy, but they're okay with that. Yeah. That is so important. They're like, right,
here, let me take the load.
Yeah, they are. And they're like, look, I can help you.
Because they don't have any expectations so of that being returned.
And I always feel like I have to say thank you so much because I'm like, I couldn't do that for you. No. But they're like, but that's not why we do it. We do it because we know you need it.
And you also, this is what my mum always says to me. She's like, Rochelle, I'm helping you because you're helping yourself.
I know.
And I think that's so nice because if I was sat at home and I wasn't really doing anything and I was reliant on the government, I don't think she'd give me the support and help she does because she'd be like, well, what you are you doing?
Yeah, and I think
but she sees us trying to make it. So she's like, I'll help where I can.
Exactly. And I would say from a personal perspective in terms of like dating, meeting new people, you know, whatever my future looks like in that, I've not put any time into that really because it's not a priority to me. What the priority?
God, that's so low down on the list.
Yeah, it is. You're actually, the priority right now is to make sure I've got an amazing business
foundation
that makes me happy.
Yeah.
So that then I can show up for Hallie the best that I can.
Yeah.
And I also don't really know whether I ever want any more children. And I actually think that that's okay because if I can give her everything that she ever needs, then I'll have done my job as a mum.
Absolutely.
So I feel so like lucky to have had the shit show of a story that I have because we're all quite proud, aren't we, of what we do and where we're at.
Success is not linear.
Correct.
It goes up and down.
Yeah, but actually I feel really empowered by the fact that my story wasn't perfect and at times I was so embarrassed by that. Now I would say it's also a definition of me.
Superpower.
Correct. Yeah, exactly that. And also I want her to know that it doesn't look like this and that doesn't mean that that's going to be the outcome. So I would say that that's how I do it all. I don't really know is the answer. I don't know how
you,
I do
you
it.
You get it done because you have no, I have no choice.
Yeah, I have no choice. And I want to ensure that for eternity, she knows that, oh, mum and dad weren't together, but mum did this and dad did this. And, you know, I want her to be proud of me. I'm so proud of my mum. Like, when you're a kid, you don't really understand what your mum does.
No, you
understand
nothing.
And then you become a mum and you're like, Jesus Christ, how did you do this?
Yeah.
And I just want that. I want that. I'm so proud of my mum. And I adore every value that she brings to our family, that I just want to be that person one day. Yeah. And my story won't look the same as hers, will it? But it's going
to
be...
I always say that to my mum. If I'm half the person and half the mum... that you are to me, then I will have succeeded
in life. And I wish that I'd listened to more conversations like this, being a mum, because when you're pregnant, you have this expectation that it's going to be beautiful and I'm going to have this baby and we're all going to be happy and we're going to go on these...
We're not their moms, trust me.
Into a concept of...
You think that, don't you? Yeah, you do. This is how I should feel.
This is how, this is what I should do. This is the box I need to fall into.
And when you don't, you think you're like, something's already wrong with failing as a mother.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt.
And I just thought, everyone else is like, oh, I miss my bump. I love being pregnant. And I was thinking, why do I absolutely hate being pregnant? Couldn't think of anything worse, would never do it again.
Mm.
I looked into a surrogate parent, like a surrogate mother for Hallie. And then I literally, honestly, I took the morning after pill. I'm not afraid to admit these things.
Yeah, no, but it's important to, isn't it?
And then I found out I was pregnant and I was like, well, it's fucking...
Here we go. That's
about there. Stubborn as anything. Yeah. And she's like, I'm coming whether you like it or not. Yeah. It's so true.
There you go.
But I'm not, I don't care that I'm not that mother that's like... always going to be there, but I'm there when I need to be there.
Do you know what my thoughts are on that though? Is you're not being true to yourself if you're not the mother that you're meant to be.
Yeah.
So I don't have loads of mum friends either because of this.
Yeah.
And the two, literally two, that I have is the fact that we're not actually alike at all. And I love that. Like I sit there and I think, oh, I'd so love to be like you and adore taking her to soft play every day. But what makes me tick...
Sounds like hell for me.
Yeah, me too, babe.
I like going to work. I like dropping them off and being like, see you later. Mummy needs to go and get her time.
You've just took the words out of my mouth.
And then I will go and I'll say, okay, now on the weekend, we'll do all the fun things.
Because
you've worked. And we'll have a lovely time. Yeah. And I can pick you up from school 2 days a week.
Yeah.
The other two, you will go to after school club. The other one is nanny. Or your dad, like it's always on mothers to like constantly do it. But like, I also want to work. But also want a bit for me.
But isn't there something in that? Because you're being your most authentic self. Exactly. Which means that then you're representing a good version of yourself to them. And that's what I always think. Like, I'm not the mum that sits on the floor for 5 hours and plays Barbies. I couldn't think of anything worse than spending 10 minutes doing that.
Yeah.
But if I pretend to do that, then I'm not showing her the true quality of that.
No.
When you said earlier about them being little sponges and parrots, when I get my laptop out, because what I normally do is I get up, get myself ready, then get her up. And then I'm like, right, what? We're watching Peppa, perfect. Chuck Peppa Pig on TV. She eats her breakfast, does that. I get my laptop out and she's like, mummy, doing work? I'm like, yeah, I am. But also, they
what
shouldn't...
What is she seeing? She's seeing, like, her mummy getting up doing and it. Showing up. Yeah.
But also, if they don't see how you get to the end result, how are they ever going to understand how you got there?
Do you know what? I would count money with Bentley and say, look, here you go, from a young age, and be like, and I'm like, this money is how much that cost. And this is what mummy had to do to make that happen.
Yeah.
And he really understands the concept of money. And I need
to
do it more with Holly.
Clever.
Yeah, that is clever.
He's very switched on with his maths and he always says things, mummy, that is 60 minutes. So that would have taken you one haircut.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he remembers that from a really young age.
That is what I'm talking about in terms of the fact that...
We're teaching our kids the real world, I think.
And I actually think that, you know, we could go in a whole other conversation now about education, but, you know, if you're privileged enough to have a really good education, whether that's paid for or not, you're kind of exposed to a false sense of reality that you're going to work really hard and then you're going to get a good job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't work like that,
honey. No.
It doesn't work like
that. We've gone out there and made our own success.
Exactly.
Because the reality was, no job was paying me or giving me the fulfillment I needed. And actually, I was like, I am going to graft.
Yeah.
I did it slightly different. I grafted my butt off. And then 7 years into my career, I was then like, right, now I've built my foundations. I can afford to stop, have a child.
Mm. And be that little bit more flexible.
Exactly.
Yeah, I reduced
my hours. But again, it was boundaries. Because trying to tell my clients I wasn't working a Saturday anymore, they were like,
you what?
You don't work on a Saturday? And I was like, no, I don't.
Mm.
How am I going to get childcare? Like, even if my husband was available, why is that fair for him to have our children on a Saturday and I come back on a Sunday and that's the one day a week I get with them?
And I think that's the thing. Like, I do have an element of resentment to the state of my business when I had Hallie because it was because of COVID. Because I had literally 6 weeks off, like, and then I was back. And I had to try and then juggle rebuilding a business after COVID with a newborn baby. It was impossible. So I did the bare minimum to keep us afloat, to then be like, right, she's now in nursery, you know, all that sort of stuff. Now it's time to go. And I think that there's a lot of mums out there that think, how do you do, like the question, how do you do it all? And I think that just don't compare your story to someone else's. Yeah. Find your journey. And actually, whether that means you go back to work part-time or you're a stay-at-home mum or whatever, just own yourself.
And be okay with it.
Yeah.
Don't be embarrassed.
If you're not okay with it, do something about it.
Correct.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Don't moan about it.
Yeah.
Just understand what you want and then do
change
something
yourself
for it.
And
and
do what you need.
Speaking of our little darlings, I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm just a little bit conscious of time.
I know.
I could speak to you guys for hours.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shall we
talk about
our hot topic of the week, which
we
would love your view on?
Thinking.
Yeah, go for it.
What are your thoughts surrounding, I'm trying not to say it without my own views coming across, is going on holiday, either with friends or your partner or yourself, away without your children, without your kids? What is your take on that?
Yeah. So I think at the beginning of motherhood, I thought that being a mum meant they had to be with you the whole time. And I thought that then it made you a bad mum if you wanted to do things without your children because they're this gift and everyone
says
all of
that. But it's society, I think.
Yeah.
Society's made us think that.
Mm.
Because there are mothers that will look at you and judge you and go, you're a really bad mother for
going away without
your kids.
Because you're not doing that. Yeah. And actually, do you know what? It wasn't until me and her dad separated that all of a sudden I had this time without her and I was like, liberated. Like, I was like,
I don't know what to do with my kids aren't there. What do I do?
Yeah. And I think, do you know what? I have an element of like, oh, I wish that Hallie was with me all the time. Of course I do. I'm not like happy
but
that we're not together.
Probably enjoy the break.
Yeah, but the break's different. The break hits different. The break isn't a break. The break is rebuilding that time, like you said earlier, like where you've got that support that I don't, all them sorts of things.
Yeah.
But holidaying, me and my best friend and I have to vouch for this because it was the best thing we ever
did. I loved
this,
by the way.
Okay.
So, I was like, go girl.
Yeah. So I turned 30 last year and she got me flights to Nice. So south of France is my favorite place in the whole world. What it's just stunning, gift. Right? So she got us flights to Nice. The universe just told us that at the time of things, certain things had happened and we didn't go. We were meant to go in February, so we didn't go. We moved it to the beginning of May, literally a little while ago now, but yeah, beginning of May. And we got on a flight at 6 a.m. on the Friday morning.
Yeah.
So 6 a.m. flight. We landed in Nice at 9:10 on the Friday. We got a taxi from the airport. Airport down the promenade, like there's a 1 mile promenade in Nice and it's just stunning. We got out of the taxi, crossed the road, went to a beach club, and at 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. we just sat on the beach at this beach club. And when I say drinking, we weren't like, you know, we weren't getting super drunk. We were just drinking beautiful wine.
You were taking it in, eating amazing food,
napping, resting, relaxing, laughing. Like my belly hurt.
This sounds like porn to me at this point. Right?
went back to the hotel, showered, got changed, went for dinner, went to bed at 9 o'clock, literally not even late. Went to sleep, got up the next morning, went for breakfast. And then we were on a flight by 11 a.m. the next day coming home.
I'm sorry, but that sounds like 24 hours. Yeah.
And can I just say that it was the best thing that I've done since becoming a mum.
And let me guess, you came back a better, refreshed human being and a better mum for it.
Yeah, but also just the fact that you have the discipline to say, I need that time. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I needed that time. I'd exhausted myself beyond belief. And actually, I needed that time. So my answer to the question, do what makes you happy. If you want a holiday with your children because that makes you happy, then do that. Yeah. I also love nothing more than seeing Hallie in a different country, learning, playing on
eating new foods,
being lovely and cultured, and there's nothing cuter than seeing them at the kids' disco. But also, does it fill up my cup as much?
No.
Let's be honest.
But also, you're still doing a holiday.
No, it's not a break.
You're just taking your shit from the UK
in another country.
But the thing is, it's not taking time for you.
Exactly. When they wake up, you're still on their schedule. They wake up and they instantly want breakfast. So you're like, right, let's lug all the shit.
Yeah,
down
let's
to the,
go to there.
All
then
the
you'll
shit
go
as
here.
Well. Like, why have I got so much shit in my bag? Like, why have I got sand in my bag? Put it in your own bag. I bought Hallie a million handbags as well. Like, put it in your own bag, my darling.
I know.
Going for breakfast and then I'm going around with a plate picking up what they want
because you know
and
that
I'm
they're going to
need starving
and
salivating and I'm like I want to go and eat but I can't.
Yeah,
so I'm 100% in agreement. Like I think it's really important, especially because I am in a marriage.
It's healthy, it's fine.
Take time for me and my husband without the children, because when they have flown the nest and they're like,
then what's
mummy
left?
And daddy, who, what's left for my marriage? Again, like I need a bit of a like relax and restation for me to do it, like for me to restore, for me to come back and be a better mother. That's one thing that's so important. Like I can get with ADHD, I can get very overwhelmed, very overstimulated, and motherhood's like constantly living off on someone else's terms, which I struggle with. Like both kids being ADHD, me being ADHD, it's like the blind leading the blind sometimes. So it's nice to get away from that routine and have no pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
And I love it. And like we've booked a trip to Marbs, literally 2 days. It's going to be really similar to yours. And I cannot wait.
And I've not done this for like maybe a decade.
Yeah, but this is amazing. Can I come?
I'm scared.
Girl, because
you know what?
Girl trip.
Do you know what? That time as a mum with your girls is just unbelievable. Yeah. Like you need it. And we put ourselves last, which is okay.
And I spent so
long. No, because I don't think it is.
But it's okay
why do we have to come last?
Yeah,
do you
because we have a duty for a period of time, a duty of care that all our mums did for us, especially if you had a good mum, which it sounds like we all did.
Yeah.
But you know, you have a duty of care to provide for those children. And actually when you get the opportunity to fill your cup back up, fill it up. Like, brim it over.
And
do you know
and
what?
Then you'd be a better mum when you come back.
And the laughter and the memories. Yeah. I smile just thinking about it. Like, I've never laughed and just, we took photos and we looked genuinely happy. You know that? Do you know that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
Because there was no child hanging off my, mum.
Was your friend a parent as well?
Yeah, so she won't mind me saying this. But her story's even more amazing.
Oh, really?
So she had a baby with a sperm donor.
Oh, wow.
I know.
So she chose, like, I want to be a mother now.
Yeah, she's incredible. Like, she is the most, she's just amazing. And just got to a time in her life where she knew she wanted to become a mum, hadn't met the right person, went it alone. And she's not alone because her network
is,
she's got an amazing support system.
And she's got a little bestie for life as well now.
Exactly that. She's got a little girl too. So her little girl wasn't with her. And I just saw it in her eyes as well, this sense of peace. Because
Because when you meet up,
you're recharging.
Do
you
actually catch up with each other? No. When we meet up and we go to like the farm, I'm like,
the farm. No, because someone's got their hand exactly.
Oh, yeah, no. Just like, and sorry, and yeah. You're halfway through a conversation, and then you're like,
and then we leave. We leave each other.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, how are
I've
you?
I've not seen you.
Yeah, probably.
I've not spoken to you. Yeah, because we've just all we've been doing is managing the chaos that's in front of us,
making sure no child breaks a limb.
Yeah,
or gets lost.
Making sure that their cup is full.
How many times have we been at Splash Park when we've been like, fuck, we've lost Parker. Where, Parker? And I'm running that way looking for Parker.
My son is an escape isn't he?
He's an escape artist.
Honestly.
And then he's there chilling somewhere and then I'm like, fuck, I've lost Hallie now. Right, Benny, go get Hallie. Like, it's
what's
chaos.
So funny about that though is, as mum friends that our journeys continue, they're the moments that you laugh about in long term to come. Like, you just reminisce there so beautifully. So it's all part of the story. And it's I think that's where I'm at now, in the place of just like, let life be, and whatever that journey looks like, there's a reason for it. Just embrace the shit, because it's so hard.
Exactly.
Have people around you that you can talk to. And when
and
you're
let it out.
Yeah,
like,
but when
so
you're
everyone.
Proud, be freaking proud and make sure that the team that you've got behind you are cheering for you.
Yeah.
Because how many mums are out there that don't do that? I know.
And I'm not saying like I'm not taking my children away. Like, we've just come back from Dubai with the kids.
Yeah.
They
having
had the
a
best
lovely
time.
Family holiday.
Yeah. The kids were like, Habibi, come to Dubai. I was like,
oh,
love
kid. That. Yeah, you go, kid.
Love it.
Let's get you a contract.
Exactly.
That sounds like a little win, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Such a win.
And it was so nice seeing them and being with them, but also the next holiday, 100% will be without them. And then the next one will be with them. Yeah. I'm like, I have a really good work-life balance and a child-mother life balance.
You're not being selfish because you're filling
someone's
their cup up as much as your own and your family's cup.
Because you only have a cup into society too. Where everyone goes, sorry, you're now a mother.
You can't do that.
For yourself.
No, we're just not here for that.
Because in turn, I'm going to raise happier children that don't have a moody mum that just shouts.
And there you go.
You know?
Yeah, and that is so. Yeah. I grew up with a mum and dad who maybe not holidayed all the time, but they did trips weekends away. Yeah. And I think that it also shows from a parenting,
healthy dynamic of a relationship.
Yeah, it did. And
that's how important that is. So
you know, so important. And how important it is to see that they were a stronger team to then provide for us, because they had that quality time. You don't understand.
And look at them now as well.
What a healthy relationship looks like.
They're so
cute.
Yeah, they are. They're
still
so amazing.
Going. And that's what you have to see and look at, is it's so good and important. Like, anniversary's coming up. Kyle and I are going to go for a spa weekend.
Yeah, love that.
Take my kids on a spa weekend.
No, but you shouldn't take your kids on
a spa
weekend.
And they're also in very good hands with my mum and dad, who they adore.
Yeah,
they'll be living their best life being spoiled.
How special is your parents being with them? Like, I love it. Me and Hallie live at home at the moment, and it is so special.
Sometimes I walk in and
I am like, what is this? Like, it's chaos. Yeah. And I just stand
back
from it.
But there will be a time that you reflect on it and you think, there's no amount of money that could make me want to change.
We actually get a little bit emotional about it sometimes, because my brother and my sister are in the process of buying houses and moving out, and you know, we all sit there and we're like, this is so rare. Like, we all live under one roof and we have the best time.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen when that's not there?
No, it's chaos, but it's your chaos.
It's gorgeous.
And
it's
a moment in your life and a time in your life that you will forever remember.
Exactly.
And I bet you any money, your Hallie, some of her earliest memories will be, God, do you remember?
I know.
They will be her happiest memories because she had a whole team of people around
her. Yeah, and it's not just boring me that's stroppy because I've got to do the dinner.
Yeah,
exactly.
How boring. Like, you know? And so, I'm a massive advocate for that time on your own, but really be true to your needs.
I think that's
so important.
Absolutely love that. Georgia, it's been an absolute pleasure
to talk to you.
Shall we end this episode with our little win of the week? Because every week we celebrate a win. It can be really small, but any small win is a win in our eyes, particularly as you're a mum.
Yeah.
So what's your win of the week?
Oh, goodness,
you want me to go first?
No, you can go first.
My win of the week is that I survived a solo 4.5 hour trip with a 1-year-old.
No. That deserves a medal and a round of applause. Well done. That's incredible.
I'm proud of you. I love that.
We don't give ourselves pats on the back,
that's amazing.
Yeah. That's like really fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's fucking
Are the people around you okay? Like, were they nice?
They're really lovely.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
I actually heard a tip once that someone said, if you're going and traveling with children or a baby, bring sweets and give it to the people around you and be like, I'm so sorry.
So sorry.
I'm not apologising. You were a baby once.
Well, if you don't like it,
fly private jet, mate. But you're an easy jet with me.
But you can't. So slum it up, honey.
Halle's
first flight. The reason I asked that is Halle's first flight. The lady in front of us, obviously we did that. We apologised, sit down. It's her first flight. She should probably be fine, but just in case. And she started kicking off. You know when they kick off, they're really little. She was only 5 months at the time. And she was like kicking the chair. And then I got up and knocked the chair. And she said, I don't mind the baby screaming, but you knocking my chair is not acceptable. And I literally just went, were you a mum once? Yeah. And I thought, actually, do you know what? You probably weren't.
She probably wasn't.
No, you probably weren't. Wrong person to say that to, but no problem. I saw a woman out on the flight once
because we were going around and around and around. We weren't landing. And you know that pressure point?
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible for an adult, let alone a baby. And Halle was like grizzly. And she was like, mummy, you want to stop? And I was just like, I don't even know what to do at this point. And they kept looking back at me. And I was like, what is it that you want me to do? And they looked and they was all like shocked. And
because I called them out.
And I was like, would you like me to slap this little girl? Would you like me to put my hands over her face and her mouth and physically restrain her?
I think at that point I would have just handed her over. You're obviously better than I can do, and parent in this situation
because she's clearly evidently in pain.
To be kind on flights. Yeah, people travelling with children.
You were a baby once.
Support them. Tell the mum or the dad they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
On the way back,
do you know,
there was a child with a fever and I said to her, I made a conscious effort to just say,
are you okay?
You're doing great.
Can I do anything?
Yeah,
you're doing amazing.
Yeah.
I always do that with luggage. You know when the mum's always got the baby, and obviously not as much now because Halle's tiny. But you know when you see them and they've got the pram, the this, and you're just
they're
like,
trying to
can
be
I
Mary
get something
Poppins,
for you?
Aren't
yeah,
they? Trying just to carry like, everything. In
how much kindness goes so far, doesn't it?
Exactly.
So,
kindness goes so far.
So that
and
was my win of the week.
A village, and I think if we can support other mums, imagine how you feel in that situation yourself. If you can just offload a little bit of that burden, make them feel like that problem is shared. It's a problem half.
Yeah. Like, what a win. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Are you going to do it again anytime soon?
Am I fuck?
Yeah, there you go.
At least you're honest.
Yeah.
You've done it now, too.
Done it, done. Yeah.
What's your win of the week, Georgia?
No, Michelle, you're next.
I don't know what. I've been on a week holiday. Like,
that's a win. Yeah. You got your family there in one piece.
It's actually quite a big win, isn't it? I lied on my back for an entire holiday.
Yeah, look at the tan.
She's got the tan. There you go.
Let's have a win of the week as your tan.
Also, I've lost weight. Who goes on an all-inclusive holiday?
You know why? Because you were rested.
Because it was so hot as well.
No, but you're rested.
I weren't eating shit. My cortisol levels weren't sky high all the time.
Mm.
And I genuinely think I just felt like I was very zen and rested.
Oh, yeah. See, that's a win. Recognising that as well. Recognising that. Well
done. Love that.
Yay, proud of me.
Well done, well done. My win of the week. Well, this is my first podcast ever.
You've been amazing. That is your win. We'll have that. So there we go. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. You were honestly such a natural.
Like, obviously, we're friends, like besties, and we just chat shit. So you forget sometimes that the cameras are there.
Yeah, you do.
But like,
yeah.
It is the first podcast I did. I was very aware of it. It was really daunting. Mm. But when you get into it, like, it's nice. You've done so well, and you should be very proud of yourself because you're like a good 6 years younger than me. And look at how much you've achieved.
Mm.
And I think we have to give ourselves more credit. Like, you are
a
queen. Well done.
You're an inspiration to a lot of other women, and particularly your little girl.
And you're changing women's lives with Reform Pilates.
Thank you. And I hope that
we'll be sharing more on that, won't we? We're very excited to get in.
Thank you very much.
I want to be in my bendy mum era.
Yeah, you are.
My core mum era.
We call it the Pilates mum era.
Yeah,
it's definitely, isn't it?
It's like a mum tribe.
It's just so nice.
Yeah.
But non-gym mummy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not you're going for a marathon before the school run, mum.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're okay with the fact that you know you need to move.
Yeah. Motherhood's like really fucking hard. I'm going to take a bit of time for me. Should we go and get a little cheeky
Let's get a Costa after.
Yeah. Like, we're serious about fitness, but not that serious.
Yeah, I love that. That's so good.
But it's been amazing. And obviously, we would love for you to follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'm going to put it here because it's an absolute mouthful. It's 2 P's, 1 podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope you've loved listening to us on all your platforms, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And if you tune into us in the next 2 weeks, we are going to be, I've been actually dying to do this for a while, I'm not going to lie, because We don't talk about this enough, but you were on The Apprentice.
Oh no.
Yes, we're doing it. I'm gonna put a question box on our social media. I want your questions. We're gonna find out what happens behind the scenes, what really happens on the task, what happens when the cameras go down.
Okay. I didn't know she's gonna do this, by the way.
I know, like, she didn't. I know the shock.
Yeah.
But I don't think we give it enough light, because you worked really hard to get there.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dig out your letters.
Yeah, they're one of the things
that kept me going. Jenny sent me the cutest little letters.
I had to sign. I was one of the only people in her circle that signed the NDA.
I love that.
And I was only allowed to write to her, because how many phone calls were you allowed?
Like one every time we came off task.
Yeah.
And you had 20 minutes. So if I did 10 minutes with, or 15 minutes with my family, I could do 5 minutes with Jen.
Yeah.
I could split my time. But I wangled that, because you weren't really supposed to. But I got face with the family.
Yeah. So send in your questions. Yeah. Let us know what you would like Rochelle to answer. And yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Georgia.
Thank you.
Bye, little peas.
Bye.